Welcome to the Perfectly Saint Show, episode 328. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony. Tony?
Is he?
Did we lose Tony? No. We were joined by Tony.
He doesn't even look like he hears you.
No, he's not moving.
He looks like he's like zoned out. Or is he like frozen?
Oh there he is. He's back. Tony, but we can't hear him.
Jesus Christ, Tony.
There he goes. Tony, talk.
Okay.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, you're like, are you guys ready? And then it immediately signed me out.
Now I got two of you on my fucking screen. I don't like it.
That is insufficient me. You need more.
I ejected the other Tony.
Good job.
How dare you?
Anyway, Tony is here, finally.
I have returned.
And Jeff is here as well.
Yes, sir.
Jeff and I played Mafia 3.
Yeah.
We played the two big releases from last week. They both came out. Well, I guess Gears officially came out on this past Tuesday, but Mafia 3 came out last Friday, and Jeff and I played it. Jeff, you already traded it in, right?
No, actually, I didn't. Okay. I traded other stuff in.
But you're thinking about it.
No, I'll get to it. I'm going to get to it. I'm going to play through the whole thing, probably.
Okay.
Just this weird cliff that you fall off at some point with it. Almost like closest thing I could just compare it to is No Man's Sky, where it's like
it's all 2 hours.
You see through the cracks of the thing like that you've been playing, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is just this.
Yeah, so I think it has a great opening 2 hours.
It's awesome. Like, it really gets you invested in the characters, and you're ready to go on this, like, story with them, you know? Like, but then... It's not like it's bad. It's not like a bad game. By any means, it's fine. But, like, you expect so much more based on that setup.
Now, did you guys play Mafia 2?
No.
I have Mafia.
This is a first for me.
See, I played through Mafia 2, and it was actually one of the most beautiful games that came out the time it came out. And it has this huge open world that you never get to play through. Like, the game has a great story, but the gameplay was very meh. And that's all there was to it.
Yeah, so
this one is not beautiful.
Well,
no, are you kidding me?
It's not terrible, okay?
It's pretty, like, dude, the fucking glare from the sun, like, if you're driving down the street and you're driving towards
it's blinding.
Sun,
it is fucking blinding.
Like, yeah, it's like you're driving into a nuclear explosion.
Like. But, I mean, I think the architecture and everything in the city kind of looks great. I think it's a pretty looking city. It's not San Andreas in GTA 5, but I think it's perfectly accessible.
No, I the look of the city is fine, like the way the setting is, I guess, but like graphically, just straight graphically, like, dude, GTA 5 looks way better on last gen systems, I think. Like, this thing is not pushing any sort of, we're not going to be handing any awards to it for graphics.
No, for sure not. And it's a bit buggy too.
I saw pictures of like boats flying in the air and like random stuff.
So I had two incidents today. I was going through like this meatpacking plant, and I knifed the guy. Like, so you can hide behind like cover, and you can lure the enemies over, and when they get close enough, it highlights that you can do a takedown on them. So I whistled over, he starts walking, and he gets, as soon as it like lights up that I can do it, I go for the move, but he's coming in the door, and he gets stuck on the door, and like my Lincoln stabs him in the throat, but then he just kind of like jerks around on the door for a while, and then ends up stuck there. And then another weird one I had was I went through and was like interrogating these moonshine guys. I eliminated his protection, interrogated him, and then went in and picked up a collectible. And when I came out, there was a box that was there previously that was gone, and the bottles of beer that were on it were just hovering in the air, and you could walk through them and the bottles would break, but it's like, what is going on? There's a little weird graphical things going on in that game. But yeah, as Jeff said, I think it starts out fantastic. It's a very linear first 2 hours. Like, there's the open world is almost not even necessary in those first 2 hours, because it just kind of drives you from point to point.
That's how the first game was too. There definitely was an open world. There was a map and a whole bunch of stuff, but you never ever got to it.
It does eventually open up in this, so you'll be driving from points, but it almost seems it gets very samey very quickly. Like when Jeff talked about it, I think you sent me, was it a text on like Sunday or Monday about it, saying that like it just becomes this desire to get more territory to advance the game. Like, you're just doing the same type of missions over and over again.
The same type of mission, singular. It's the right. Same mission over and over. Just go into this area, kill all the dudes.
Kill everybody.
Take it yep. over.
And it's like the first one you do, I think, is like a prostitution thing. It's like, all right, so you're in this strip club and you take them down. But then, like, you get the next one and it's like, go here and kill all these people again. It's like, what does this have to do with the racket that I'm attempting to get now? Like, I mean, I guess there's a little bit of variation in there. Like, I'm doing this moonshine one now where it's destroy the barrels. Like, that'll hurt him some. But mostly it just comes down to go somewhere, kill everybody, take all the money in that area, and move on.
Yeah, like, and usually, like, the final mission in an area is kind of neat. Like, the first one was...
the funhouse.
Yeah, like, go to this amusement park that's, like, underwater.
Yeah.
Like, so it's abandoned. And, like, that was cool, but, like, it was still the same mission. It was just go through there and kill everybody.
Yeah, it was kill everybody, get to the final guy, and then, like, you chase him down until you get to, like, a final area, and you have to kill him. And that's it. Like... Again, there's like a cool cutscene, but it's almost like, I don't know.
Yeah, when they hang the guy.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then like the news reports are pretty cool, and some of the conversations you hear later on between people are cool, but.
Well, like, we gotta give it credit for, like we said, very strong first 2 hours. A lot of that is the story and the way the story is told, which is documentary style. It's people now in the present talking about the events that happened in the game way back in 1968, which
right.
is a really cool setup. Like, just this is just cool. Like, I don't think I've seen that in a game before, where it's basically telling the story like a documentary.
Yeah.
And just also the setting itself, I'm not talking about just the city or anything. It's just like the time and place, you know, like, it's 1968, and you're playing a black character who just got back from Vietnam. Like, that leads to a whole bunch of potentially interesting stuff, and the game is not afraid to explore it, I don't think. Like, well, obviously it's not. Like, dude, it's filled with all sorts of, like, racial slurs and just weird little touches. Like, you'll go up to a bar, and it'll say, like, you know, there'll be a sign outside saying, like, no coloreds allowed or something like that, right?
Right.
Or, just really interesting touches where, like, say if you steal a car in, like, a rich neighborhood, the cops will be faster to respond. Like, that's a mechanic in the game.
Then if you, like, if you steal a car in the Hollow, which is, like, the black neighborhood, the ghetto, if you will, the cops may not even show up.
It's, like, that's just a wonderful little detail, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, there's definitely, like, and that's what's making me keep it, like, these, like, because the missions are all so much the same, but just that, those things, like, the strong points are gonna get me through the game.
I've found that it plays better if I play it for about an hour, and then
move on,
do something else. Like, come in, play a couple missions, maybe one or two, and then move on to something else, and it works pretty well that way.
way better in small chunks because, like I said, then it kind of masks the fact that you're doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
There's nothing really bad about it. It's just I wish they would have had more variety to the missions and made the open world feel more like a playground. Whereas right now it's like, it's open. You can go look around, but
there's very little to do. It's like, you know, you collect some Playboys that are in the area.
Yeah.
Which is a little weird. you collect some paintings. There's a bunch of collectibles, like Hot Rod Magazine or whatever. But there's not much to do outside of that. Like, there are side missions that eventually open up. And some of those actually have pretty cool stories. But you can't finish those storylines straight away because if you don't have enough territory unlocked. So I'm doing this marijuana running one, and it's you're dealing with this Haitian guy, and as you're doing it, he's telling you more about like his story. But I got to about two or three of them, and then all of a sudden it just locked me out from doing anymore, saying that I didn't have enough power really to run any more of these. Like, I had maxed out my rackets, and I had to go get more before I could finish up that storyline. It's like, that's annoying because there's more interesting aspects going right then. And those missions were at least different. Like, they were kind of they were go here, kill somebody. But then it was like, collect the pot, bring it back by boat, and then deliver it where it needs to go. And then you get the story chunk, but whatever. But that's Mafia 3. It's okay.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't buy it.
It's really strong on certain points and like might be worth you checking out at some point, Tony. But yeah, the sameness of the missions is basically the biggest problem.
Yeah. And I mean, the one thing it has going for it is there aren't a lot of games currently like that out there.
Yeah.
There's GTA 5, Saints Row 4, which are both last-gen games at that. Those open-world kind of crime games. I guess Watch Dogs 2 is coming, so. But there haven't been a whole lot this year in that way. And if you're looking for that type of game, the setting is cool, and the story is pretty interesting. But it might be worth picking up, like, Black Friday-ish.
Sure. Or even wait until it's like $20 or whatever.
Right. So the other big game that came out was Gears of War 4. And we've all played some of it. I think I probably played a little bit more than you guys, but
you were there for my entire play of it. So
okay. and Jeff was a little bit behind me in the campaign. Have you advanced much further past that, Jeff?
I am somewhere in the middle of Act 3.
So, okay. I got to Act 4, so.
I mean, it's like a little past the halfway point where I am, probably.
Okay.
You're probably close to the end, so.
I just started Act 4, so.
Okay, so you got a bit to go.
But, it's Gears of War.
It is.
They made another one of those games.
That's how I feel about Gears of War games. Like, I know you're a huge fan, Chris. I'm more of like, they're kind of fun in like kind of an arcade sort of way where it's just fun gameplay. But like, I can't differentiate them whatsoever. Like, you could make me play any Gears game, and I'd be like, it's Gears 3 or 2. I don't know. Like,
I know the first one is where they can't find Dom's wife, and the second one is where they find Dom's wife and she dies, and the third one is where Dom dies. That's about all I know.
That's pretty much it. And they stop they stop the locust in 3.
Right.
Let's see. That's more than I remember. Like, I can't bring myself to care about what's going on in the damn games, because it's all it is like, I mean,
it's set piece to set piece to set piece. I mean,
yeah, it's
the plot is kind of irrelevant.
It's an action
90%. Yeah, Well, I was gonna say 90% of it is really just go into this box and like get behind cover and kill all the dudes in this box, and then go to the next. Like then you'll walk for a minute and you go talk, and then you get to the next box and just kill all the things in that box. Let's
right now. To be fair, you have a lot of fun in those boxes, which is why we keep playing these games. So it's not like
Mechanically, it's great too. Like it's just solid production values all around. You know what I mean? Like that's.
I can't tell you how much I missed the chainsaw bayonet. Like the first time I got to like chainsaw an enemy in half. Oh, so
it's
satisfying.
Very satisfying. Yes. Super, super satisfying. To just turn that thing on and rip something apart. I do it a bunch.
You hit one of the machines and they like spray the metal bits all over the screen.
Yeah, and an oil. It's great. I guess like the campaigns have always kind of been that, Jeff, where it's kind of like, you know, these big boxes and they're open area sandboxes for you to do combat in. Four did a little bit different. There was 4-player co-op, which changed kind of the dynamics and the battlefield. Like it made the battlefields bigger because you needed to allow for 4 people actually moving around. Even though you always had AI partners with you.
I mean, it's perfectly fine. The game knows what it is, and it just tries to excel at being that. I guess the only thing I wish is there was more parts like that motorcycle boss that do you remember what I'm talking about? Where you're on this motorcycle trying to blow this giant fucking plane up.
Playing the plane, yeah.
Yeah, like that. Like, give me I wish that was like every other thing you did was something crazy like that. I would love it way more, but it's fine. It's a fun game.
Yeah, I like the new weapons. I think they're pretty interesting. That M-Bar sniper rifle is pretty cool. It's a sniper rifle. It doesn't have a scope because it's a robot sniper rifle. Robots don't need scopes.
Weird. I haven't tried that one.
Yeah, it charges up, and the reticule starts out really big, and it'll shrink when it's ready to shoot, and it'll light up red, and you... Like as it charges up, you let it go, and if you can line it up with the head, it does a pretty cool headshot on it. But the combat's been pretty cool. The enemies have been interesting. I was not a fan of the robots in like the first act. I thought it started a little slow. Once you meet up with an old character, I think things start to ramp up, and then you start fighting the swarm, which is basically the locusts, but something weird is going on with them, which I haven't uncovered yet. So, but they're still a blast to fight and play. So, the campaign's fine. It's pretty.
It's colorful.
Very colorful.
I like that.
Yeah, and there's a. You know, the environment is there are things around the environment that you can destroy and interact with that you really couldn't in the first 3 games, but it fits in perfectly. It feels natural. Like you're shooting barrels to blow things up. You're shooting some like barriers, which when these windstorms happen can really like take out enemies on the field quickly. There's some cool like effects with that. But yeah, so the campaign's quite fun. But then we played Horde Mode together.
Horde Mode!
And Jeff's actually probably played a little more Horde Mode than the rest of us, but...
You played Horde Mode with randoms, Jeff?
Yeah.
Why?
Hey, they got yourself? Me further than you did.
You were playing on casual, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But whatever.
So you were cheating. It
doesn't matter. I mean,
cheater.
You did make it farther than us. This is true. Yeah. As long as you were having fun, that's all that really matters. But Horde Mode is great. Like, I mean, it's still Horde Mode. Like, but the Fabricator makes it really interesting.
It was pretty cool to bring people back to life. That was or to be brought back to life.
Oh, that's new. Like carrying the person back to the Fabricator.
Yeah. Well, the Fabricator didn't exist previously, and in the previous ones, if you died, you had to wait till the round ended before you'd respawn.
Yes. So, this is a lot less boring, potentially.
Yeah, because if you die early on in a round, like, it either goes really badly, or, or you're out for a little bit as your teammates are killing them. So like now somebody can revive you, pick up your hog tag and bring it to the fabricator, and magically you'll respawn. So the energy thing is interesting. Like you, there's a risk reward for kind of like, you want to kill all the enemies, that's how you advance, but you also want to go and collect their energy that they drop so that you can feed that to the fabricator and buy defenses. Yeah, so it's I don't really understand the class thing.
Right, I didn't even realize I had a class until Walter was like, yeah, if you choose the soldier class, you can have
The Lancer, yeah.
To begin with, and I was like, wait, I could choose classes?
Yeah, I didn't so I played Horde today, and I don't remember it happening when we played the other day.
Yeah.
But you can definitely choose your class prior to playing, and
like a perk.
Yeah, there's perks that unlock like as you, cuz you upgrade, you level up each of the individual classes separately from your overall rank, and as that goes up, so once you hit level 3, you can access 2 perks and you can assign them in. So I actually started today as a soldier with the Lancer and like 770 ammo, as opposed, I think you normally start with like 500. So you like get a few extra clips there. But yeah, they don't do a very good job of explaining the, what the benefit of the classes are. Outside of like the engineer, I guess, can repair things.
I was repairing like turrets.
I think we were all engineers. I think we were all accidentally engineers when we were playing.
And then I wasted some of our energy buying a Lancer because I wanted a Lancer.
That was fine. That works. Like, I mean, there is ammo to replenish that, so.
Right.
The enemies were fine. They were fun. We ran into a little bit of a problem with that first boss.
Right. The one that could, like, I actually took a clip of it picking me up and breaking me into nothing.
Yeah.
I wasn't even down. Like, it just walked up to me and, like, picked me up and, like, popped my head off my body.
But I guess we fought the helicopter and
The helicopter was easier.
That went better. It is definitely equipped for 5 people though, because once our fifth quit, we had less success.
You'd think it would like scale somehow or like adjust, you know, but it doesn't seem that it does.
No, I don't think it does. Yeah, I definitely want to play more Horde mode, so.
Yes, I'm up for that.
It's the main attraction to me. Like, why you play it.
Horde mode is why I bought the game. If that hadn't been it, I would not have bought it.
It's great. It's so much fun. It's the, like, there are other co-op modes like this, but I think it's still like the gold standard for co-op, like wave based play. I think it's really, really good. And they made some smart changes to the formula this time around. I guess Battlefield 1 is out. Tony and I will be playing some of that this weekend.
I have it downloaded. I'm ready to go.
Well, I mean, I guess it's not technically out. If you have EA access...
you can play the 10-hour preview version.
10-hour preview, which has 2 single-player levels and 5 of the multiplayer maps and 4 of the modes. So,
I noticed this in Madden. You can't unlock achievements now in the EA Access preview versions.
That sucks.
You could before, but you can't now.
Hmm.
Saddens me.
Yeah. I mean,
I know this because I blocked a field goal in Madden.
Oh, and
in the preview. But I haven't blocked one since, and there's an achievement for it.
And you didn't get that yet. That sucks. yeah, so I'm hoping that there's no achievements for the campaign stuff, because that would kind of have to suck to have to go back and play it. Although, what I played the prologue, and they do something really interesting, which is you aren't expected to live. Like, it's not the normal you're the big hero guy that can run through and kill everything. Like you start off, at least in the prologue, like you start off and it's like you got to hold this line, and when you die, it gives the name of the person, their birth year, and their death, the death year, which I think was 19.
That's awesome.
And it moves you to a different portion of the battle until like that is over. So it was interesting. It's really like something different. And it kind of showed you like, hey, like there were lots of people fucking died in that war. So,
right.
I'm hoping maybe that the rest of the campaign holds that through, because DICE has not had a good single player campaign since Bad Company 2. So I'm hoping that this one maybe turns that around. But I think the
original Battlefield, if you go back, the single player campaign was you playing the like through a series of the multiplayer maps versus bots. That's all it was.
Right. They weren't equipped to really do story based stuff, and they even said they don't understand why people enjoyed Bad Company and Bad Company 2. So, which is concerning on many levels. But,
right.
I'm hoping that this one turns out good.
Which says they shouldn't be making a single player portion of their games.
Right. I do want to try that operations mode though, which sounds like a blend of Conquest and Rush that takes place on multiple maps as you play. So I definitely want to try that this weekend. Maybe we get Walt and Don to play some of that.
Yeah, I'm in.
And Jeff, you're picking up Battlefield, right?
Yes. All right. I'm getting all the shooters.
All of them.
Are you getting Titanfall as well?
Fuck yeah, everything.
All right.
You're not getting Titanfall, are you, you liar?
No, I am. I'm getting Titanfall, Battlefield, and Call of Duty.
All right.
Why don't you guys get Call of Duty 2 so we can play through that like awesome 80s zombie thing? That's awesome.
I pre-ordered Call of Duty last week.
Nice.
The deluxe edition or whatever the one that has Call of Duty 4 in it.
Yep.
I pre-ordered it from Best Buy though, because it'll only cost me like what it would cost regular Call of Duty. So.
Yep.
And then when I'm done with it, I can trade it in. Before we close this out, I guess there is news, but I don't
care about news.
Yeah.
There's news.
Well, I guess
Donald
the news
Trump
is
the news. Donald Trump is all the news.
Oh, jeez. He is all the news. That's pretty much all we have for right now.
And it's all bad news.
Yes.
Who has Donald Trump touched today? I don't know.
Could be anybody.
I mean, it's good news if you want him to lose, which he should. So, I guess
you'll be better off if he loses, whether you think so or not. So,
yeah, exactly. Right. Just trust us on this.
We'll all be better off. Like, even if you want him to win, we will all be better off if he loses.
It'll be okay.
Yeah. But Jeff got a Jeff bought a $500 toy.
Yeah, Jeff. I did.
That's like a Donald Trump decision right there.
Yeah. Tell us about the VR stuff, Jeff.
Well, I got it earlier today, and so I've gotten to play with it a ton. I've gotten to play the PlayStation Worlds game, which comes bundled with the $500 bundle. Mm-hmm. It's like five different games of varying length. And then I have Batman as well, which I've played about 20 minutes of, and then it comes with like a demo disc with like, or something. So I haven't touched that yet. But yeah, it's something I've been like dreaming about since I was a little kid. I finally got to try VR.
It's and
crazy. It's here's the thing. The effect itself does work. It is very like mind blowing the first time you try it. Like, I was just mind blown looking at like the main menu of the game, and then being able to look to like my left and my right, and there's like stars and shit above me and around me, and like you can look behind you. Like, it's the sense of immersion is crazy. Like, really cool. But like that said, there, it's not like everything is 100% perfect in VRville. There are some problems.
Oh no, not I'd problems.
The biggest problem I've had is the camera becoming off center. Where like, all right, let's say you're sitting in a car, for example, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And like everything's fine, and then like 10 minutes into playing, for whatever reason, I am facing forward in my like chair in the real world, but the camera's tilted slightly to the left, as if I'm turning to the left with my neck, right? Mm-hmm. And so the it's not the tracking, because the tracking stays fine. If I move my head, it moves perfectly, it's smooth. It's like it's just off center, right? And you could hit a button on your controller to make it centered again. It never fixes it for me at all. Like, it just makes it worse. It tilts it more to the left. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. But, like, turn the headset off. Like, there's a little button that, like, dangles from the cord that's connected to you. You turn it off, and I turn it back on. Everything's perfectly fine again. And then, like, 10 minutes in, the camera's just, it's just slightly off. So if I just move in my chair a little bit to the left, like everything's fine again. But it's just – it's annoying. It's like a little thing that you don't want to annoy you.
Right.
You know? There was another thing. I was playing the London Heist demo, and it starts off and you're sitting at this desk and you could open drawers. And like you pull open a drawer and there's a gun in there. And you could take the gun out, and then there's a magazine. You can take the magazine out, like load the magazine into the gun. Cool. Some dudes show up, and I stand up from the desk, and I start shooting the fuck out of them. I run out of ammo, so then I go like to sit back down at the desk to like look in through the drawer for more clips. And I sit back down at the desk, and I'm sitting down inside the desk. And I'm like, how do I can't. Yeah. So the drawers are almost behind me for me to grab them, and I can't move back any further because I'm sitting in my couch, which is sitting against the back wall of my living room. So I can't physically make myself move back. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm just stuck in the middle of this desk, like just fucked up. Like this thing, like, you know, things are just not 100% perfect. There is like, if you heard like the like kind of fuzziness look to it, like you're looking through a screen door almost. That's definitely a thing. So yeah, like not everything is like, it's like this is the first iteration of this. This is their first stab at this, you know, and like super super impressive. Like, man, you gotta try it out, you know. But like, it's going to get better from here. That's for sure.
Is there any?
I can tell you about.
Like, was there anything specifically that was like, you need to try this thing out? Like,
yeah, there's one game. Like, so here, I tried a bunch of different games. The one that sticks out to me, like, and I've already gone back to like three times, and I just want to keep playing it, is on the PlayStation World's disc. There's a game called Danger Ball.
Okay,
and it's just like you sitting in a box playing, basically playing like 3D Pong with this paddle that's across the room. Like, all you gotta do. It's like there's a cursor that floats kind of like, I don't know, like 2 feet in front of your face, and you move the cursor around by slightly tilting your head, and you're just trying to block this ball from getting past you.
That sounds really hard.
It's not hard at all. It's super intuitive immediately, and it's super fun and just cool, like effect. You look like, you know, it's got this 3D effect too, like when you're staring at it. So it's like you just staring out this hallway, like blocking this ball with your head. And like it's just cool, dude. It's really fun. Like, depending on what angle you hit the ball, it's gonna send it flying down the hallway in like a crazy direction. So like, if you just clip it with the corner of your cursor, it's gonna fly around more. If your cursor's straight on, it's just gonna go straight back the way it came. Put your head into it, like you know, nod your head forward. You can slam the ball so it goes faster. It's like fun. Like, everything just works perfectly, and it's a good time. And like, also what's really fun is when you accidentally miss the ball with the cursor and it's coming straight at your face, like that fucking effect is like, you're just like, whoa. I just, every time I'm like, whoa, like the ball just flew right into my fucking head. It, like, so cool. Like, man, like that, and it's so simple. It's like going back to the beginning of the games. Like it's just Pong essentially, but goddamn, is it a blast! So if you get one, that's like definitely try that one out. Batman is super interesting so far. Like, of being like, there's certain games where you just kind of sit there, like Danger Ball, mm-hmm. or like there's like the Shark Tank experience where like you literally just sit there. There's like almost no control input. You just sit there, and it's like being on a ride at Disney World, and you just look around. That stuff's neat. And then there's games that try to do definitely way more, like the London Heist or the Batman VR thing, where it's like you're using the motion controllers, like the what the fuck are those things called?
Oh, the glow stick thingies, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like you're using those, and like it's making you pick things up in the world, and like. Batman's pretty neat too so far. Like there's definitely some wonkiness and weirdness to it, like again where it's like you have a utility belt on you, but when I look down it's like not, it's like kind of off center from my body or something. I'm like, this is not where this shit should be, like, but like just dude, like
just like I know where my belt should be. I know,
well, like you have a sense of where your body is, whether you can see right. your body in the real world or not. And then to look down and be like, that's not where I'm reaching towards my hip. And they're saying my hip is a foot behind me. Like, like, you know what I mean? Like weird things like that for sure.
So some weird connection there.
I think there is some, like some of the technology is holding it back. Cause like you're using the PS3 move controllers. You know what I mean? It's like, they could have just built a new better controller for it. Probably would have made it cost more, but right. I mean, the point of this is immersion, and anything that like is holding that back, which I think that the camera and the controllers are a little bit.
It's almost like kind of stuff was bolted onto it,
and the whole thing has bolted on Frankenstein. Feel like when you get this thing all set up, like dear God, your PlayStation 4 is a monstrosity with 8 billion cords coming out of it. And like I have it inside of a cabinet like that my TV sits on, and getting the headset and everything in there was not easy just now, because I don't want to leave it out because I have cats and shit, and plus it just looks ridiculous. Like,
yeah, your cats are evil shit. So
yeah, like, but you know, you don't want shit like laying out all over your floor at all times, so
right
like just getting that all in there, it like, god, I'll take a picture at some point, I'll show you guys, like it's ridiculous, dude. Like you're talking like you're hooking up like 8 cords or something, at least when you get this thing. But again, like I have no regrets so far. Like I think it's really cool. And we'll see. I'm sure that they're going to like improve on the software and figure out how to use the hardware better. Like,
yeah, I'd hope so.
Things don't feel so wonky. I mean, even picture the Wii from the beginning to the end, like it went from, you know, what it was at the beginning to Motion Plus, which was way more
right
true to your motions. So, and one other thing I will add to end this, I played like, we did Movie Dudes before this, and before we recorded that, I was playing the Batman game for like 20 minutes, and I had been playing the VR on and off for like 2 hours. Once I was done with the Batman, like, all right, I got no motion sickness while I was playing any game, but once I was done with Batman, like, with the headset off and everything, and just sitting there, as like this hangover that I had where I was dizzy. like almost, I almost still feel it lingering a little bit, but like the first 15 minutes or so after, I definitely felt a little dizzy, like, which is weird. Cause like, again, while I was playing, no problems, but once I finally like stepped away from it, it's just this weird off balance feeling. So
yeah,
I think a pretty strong, like resistance to that shit, but even I did, after a while, after a couple hours of play, I was like, woo, I feel a little woozy.
Yeah, I don't have strong resistance to that stuff. I would not.
You do not?
No, that would not work
out
well for me.
So I guess I would say to you, like, yeah, I would at least try it out before you ever decide to buy it. See what, like, how it feels to you. Because, yeah, you could definitely, I could see some people not being able to handle it.
Right, so if there's anybody out there who doesn't mind me throwing up on their VR headset. let me have a shot.
Yeah. A friend of mine that lives not too far away ended up, I think he picked his up today, so I might try it out sometime before the holidays. But Otherwise, we'll see. Like, they're the Batman thing sounds cool. There's like a Star Wars thing, I guess, that's coming out at some point. That sounds cool, but I don't know if there's anything I need to play in VR. So
Danger Ball. I'm telling you, dude. I had a friend come over because he saw me post that I got it on Facebook, and like he didn't call me or anything. I got home from work for like 10 minutes. All of a sudden, someone's knocking on my door, and which is good because he helped me set it up, like helped me like running wires behind the TV and shit, like very helpful. But he agreed, Danger Ball is where it's at.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to pay $500 for Danger Ball though, Jeff.
I think that you do though. Like, there's a party.
I probably do. It's just I think I need, like, I want to see where the software goes, right? Like,
if there is any software,
right?
Well, at the very least, there is that Resident Evil, like, which I know it's not designed for it, but I will definitely be playing at least parts of the game in that, you know?
Sure.
And when you do pick it up, like, you do get a lot with it, like tons of demos, and I think there's apps and stuff too, as well as that Worlds game. So
I heard you can plug it into your Xbox One and it will display.
Really?
Yeah. Like it, you can't do like actual VR games, but evidently you get like whatever that cinema mode is.
Mm-hmm.
So like you kind of have the Xbox Dash on, like, right there in front of your face. So you could technically use the PSVR headset with anything that has an HDMI input, evidently.
Funny.
Yeah, I think Polygon ran a story that you can do it on the Xbox One, on the Wii U, and on your PC. So just kind of interesting. But so you're gonna keep playing it. We're gonna see if you get sick. More sick from it. And do you have any plans to get anything else for it right now, Jeff?
I have that pre-ordered at GameStop, so I have to go pick that up at some point. Like, I'm really looking forward to that. Like, I think like an on-rails horror game would be super fun in that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we look forward to hearing more of your escapades with more of your exploits with VR.
Yeah, me too. First impression though, it's very neat, and it will get better. Very neat.
Neat, but it will get better. So,
like, yeah, not everything is gonna be 100%, but like, dude, I'm telling you, the first time you put on that thing and just look around inside of a world, you're gonna be pretty blown away by it.
All right. Let's see. Very quickly, I'm going to check news here. I don't think they're... Jeff told me this beforehand. He actually texted it to me. Friday the 13th was delayed to 2017.
I didn't even know there was a Friday the 13th game.
Yeah. Jeff's really been looking forward to it. Actually, Jeff, myself, and Don have actually really been looking forward to it.
And I've been saying it's going to get delayed. Because, like, dude... 2 days ago, people are going, when's it coming out? And they'd say, it's coming out in fall. And you're like, dude, there's leaves on the ground.
There's only 60 more days of fall, right?
Yeah, like, so when? So, like, the fact that they wouldn't commit to a date even this late, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, but they're adding a single-player campaign. So Tony, basically, Friday the 13th is Evolve. It's like a horror version of Evolve, where... I guess Evolve was kind of horror-based as well, but where one person plays Jason and the other people are camp counselors, and they're trying to survive, whereas in Evolve, you were trying to hunt the monster.
Oh.
So it's kind of like the reverse. Jason is the hunter, and you're trying to survive. They're now adding a single-player campaign, which sounds pretty cool.
The game looks awesome. Like, everything I've seen of it, like, the kills, oh my god, the kills are amazing. And, like, just the idea of it, like, you could, like, hide out in a cabin and set up traps for him if the dude comes in. Like,
yeah.
It fucking looks great. but I knew it was going to happen. And I don't think that the single player thing is going to be, there's not going to be a lot to it. I think it's just going to be like a single player mode.
Eh, I mean, if it, there's something there, that could be fun. Battlefield 1's trial, we kind of talked about this. It is up now on EA and Origin Access. So if you have that, go download that. Play with us.
Yes, do that.
Hitman season finale comes on Halloween. Takes place in Japan.
A Japanese themed Halloween, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys been keeping up with that game?
No.
No, I mean it's very good what I played of it, but it's kind of hard. And that game, at least for me, requires a commitment to like sit down and actually do the mission. It's not like other episodic games. So, let's see. Star Citizen was delayed again. Well, the single player was delayed again, and Wasteland 3 met its goal. So,
that's more Wasteland.
Yeah, and Tyranny from Obsidian is coming out
soon. November.
Yeah, so there's some games coming. We have there's lots of games coming. Very shortly.
Too many now.
Yeah, Battlefield next week. Probably not until Tony and I will definitely have something to say about Battlefield because we'll have played multiplayer on it at least. Titanfall is the week after. And then what, Call of Duty's the week after that? Jeez.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be backed up through like to like December. It sucks.
Yeah.
We don't want Jeff backed up. No.
No. Take some.
Take a laxative. You'll be fine.
Clean yourself out there. But yeah. So that's it.
The end.
That's it for games. We'll have more next week. Pete should be back next week. Hopefully he's not sick. And if he comes back, then we can do our game show.
Yeah. Game show. We need Pete or Fozzie. We need we need a third player.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. We should have somebody next week. And at some point, we will get Don on. Maybe after Battlefield comes out, so you can talk about Battlefield, because that's one of his favorite series.
Battlefield.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Say goodnight, Jeff.
Goodnight, Jeff.